Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I've ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Football Friday in the Doghouse. You know what that means. It's football music. And there's one particular song that I'd like to play, but I need some input. And I can't wait until I introduce T-Mac. I mean, I need somebody to tell me to play it. I need somebody to hit the text window at 732-982-7469 and say, "Dog, give us some Little Friday swag." I need someone to hit the Twitter window at Tom Abraham Show. Say, "Dog, just touch us up with a little bit of that, man. Got to have a little bit. Just give me something." You know, I mean, it's like manna from heaven for me. You know what I mean? Get me fired up. It's like water to a horse that's been in a desert. You know, it's the very sustenance. It's the thing that makes us function properly. And I gotta wait. Do I need permission? Do I really need permission? Do I need somebody to tweet me or somebody to text me and say, "Dog, give it to us. Give me the Friday swag." Do I need that? I say no! It is the theme song of Football Friday around here. It is the original Monday Night Football. The way it all started. Penny hit the Twitter winner. Play that crap, dog. Not what he said, but I knew it would be Penny. I knew Penny would be the first one. Penny wants to hear the guitar. He wants to hear the guitar right here. He wants to hear that guitar, man. George Benson, or whoever that is, Dickie Betts. Stevie Ray Vaughan, maybe, and Jimi Hendrix. That'd be one of them people. All right, today we stick our toes into the water of the NFL with four AFC teams today in the Friday Future Factor. We'll have four NFC teams next week, and then we're done. You know why? Because the next one after that, it'll be September 1st. We'll have a full, glorious weekend of college football games to pick. All right, here's your win totals for today. Straight from Vegas. I love this part. They all get crazy in here. They got an organ going, the guitar. Got the horns going in the background here. Yeah, T-Mac is a hater, but man, he knows. I know he's toe-tapping right now. He's digging it. There you you go, now we're off and running on a football Friday. That's all we needed. We just needed a little bit of that to get us started on a football Friday, get that juices flowing. And it's a high school football Friday, depending on where you're listening to the show. All right, all throughout Alabama, you got jamborees tonight and things like that. If you're listening north of the border in Tennessee, you've got game one tonight. Game zero. No, week zero. It's week zero tonight in Tennessee. I don't even start. I don't even know why it's week zero. It's week zero. Next week is week one. It's week zero. I don't know. But there's regular season games tonight. Franklin County plays Coffee County at the beautiful Rebel Stadium with the brand new, huge Jumbotron electronic video board. I mean, it is something to behold. I will tweet and put up on Facebook pictures of it tonight at the game. I'll throw it out. You guys got to see this thing. I mean, it's huge. Absolutely huge. High school football, on-campus high school football stadium with a huge video board. All right, straight from Vegas, here are your numbers for today. The, by God, New England Patriots, over or under 12.5 wins. The Stullers, as they say in Western PA, over or under 10.5 wins. The Indianapolis Colts, over or under 8.5 wins. And the Tennessee Titans, over or under 8.5 wins. Now, you can get those in right now via the phone at 866-485-9867, or you can use the text window, 732-982-7469. You can listen to the guinea pig Wolverine Dan in a moment. He'll get his in. Now, regarding the DFL draft, because many of you are like, where's the draft? It's Thursday, isn't it? It's a week from yesterday, isn't it? Well, yes and no. There's a possibility of something very, very exciting happening in combination with the draft to make it that much better. But it would require us moving the draft back 1 week to the 31st, which is still plenty of time. The NFL season doesn't start until a week after that. So it's still plenty of time. But we may be backing up from the 24th to the 31st to accommodate something very, very special. Hang on a second. I'm going to get a little of that coffee in me before it gets cold. I was a little late getting started on that deal. McTitan fan and I spent the morning at Titans practice yesterday. There were some very interesting things. Cam Newton looks like he could go. He could play right now. If it were a regular season, he could go right now. I don't know. Have they made word whether he's playing tomorrow night? He may or may not be playing tomorrow night. But he could play. DeMarco Murray looks fine. But I'll tell you what, that dude, DeMarco Murray is a halfway decent sized back. He looks like a scat back next to Derrick Henry. Christian McCaffrey is a baller. Marcus Mariota seems to have a little bit of a hitch in his giddy-up, but, man, can he spin it, man. And Adoree Jackson, he may be ready to jump in as a starter at corner week one after all. He might be the best defensive back they got. Also, general observation. This is just a general observation by your host. The opinions of your hosts do not reflect the opinions of the radio station WUMP or the producer Antonio McBath or the program director Arky Shea or the morning show host Colt Kubelik or anyone who is related to the radio station. These are simply the opinions of your host. The Panthers look like a much more physically gifted team than the Titans. I mean, just the eyeball test, watching these guys out there for 3 hours or 2 hours. They just look, they're just bigger, and they're faster. They just look physically. Look, if Tennessee finishes with a better record than Carolina, you're going to have to take a close look at the guys in the golf shirts. I'm just saying. I got a kick out of listening to the Nashville media, and really the national media, losing their minds over Nick Saban's little mini rant after Wednesday's practice. You know, when he was talking about guys predicting who's going to play well and play not play well and so on. The reality is, That was really just some good-natured banter going on between Saban and the regulars who covered the team. That was not a regular Saban. You should have heard these guys. You should have heard Paul Kaharsky. What a jerk. Like, what a jerk. They played it. You know, and they're like, what a jerk he is. He's not a jerk. It read one way. If you actually listen to it, you hear something else. And if you actually watch it, you see the smirking and the smiling going on, and there was laughter going on in the room. Look, haters are going to hate. It's just the way it is. Haters are always going to hate. So they're going to go out of their way to find a spot to pounce, you know, on the king of college football. That's just the way it's going to be. I mean, and really, the questions need to be questions without the qualifying commentary. You know, like one guy asked a question about Devontae Smith, for example, and he's like, you know, it seems like he's really doing well out there. But don't say it seems like he's really doing well out there. You don't know if he's doing well out there. What the hell do you know? It's like Saban said, what? In what? In what? In catching passes against air? What? Just say, hey, we noticed Devontae Smith warming up. Seems like a talented player. You could say that. Seems like a talented player. What are your expectations? How are the freshman receivers looking? Just ask the damn question. Another guy on Christian Miller, the third-year outside linebacker. You know, you used him in spot duty last year, and, you know, he's expected to be a lot more valuable. Who the hell knows if he's expected to be more valuable this year? Why are you making a prediction after asking the question? It really is stupid. You know, nobody kind of focused. Everybody was like, that question was fine. It was an innocent question. Well, it's an innocent question, but the way the guys asked the question was like he's making a statement about how Christian Miller's expected to play a much bigger role this year. Who the hell says so? You? Just ask the question. How's Christian Miller coming along? Now that he's a third-year player, what's your expectation for Christian Miller? Just ask that. Don't tell us what you think he is doing. What the hell do you know? You're not there. And if you were there, you don't even know what you're looking at. So just ask the question. What do you expect to get out of Christian Miller this year? After his first 2 years, you know, talk about the growth of Christian Miller. That's all. That's the question. That's the whole question. Not, well, the expectation is that Christian Miller, expectation of who? Who? Speaking of the Tide, I hope you have your tickets for the opener against Florida State. Or I hope you're ready to roll some serious geese out there. The average selling price of $860 a ticket on Ticket IQ makes this the most expensive seat in college football this year. Lawrence, what the hell is his first name? I don't know what the guy from Ticket IQ. He said, quote, it's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of event. Even the SEC championship at the old Georgia Dome, there were plenty of those, but this is the first and only first game at the new stadium. I think a lot of people want to be there for that. Yeah, plus, it's number one and number three in the country. That doesn't suck either. I mean, you know, there's that. Hang on a second. Really should get that coffee down before the show starts, don't you think? By the way, Georgia Tech and Tennessee, they'll play 2 days later in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You can get that game for $130. Good seats still remain. The official site of the Chick-fil-A kickoff. By the way, speaking of Chick-fil-A kickoff, word is the Tide and the Miami Hurricanes could be on the schedule in Atlanta for 2021 kickoff classic and what would be the final season of Nick Saban's current deal. That's the year that he turned 70. That may be the beginning of the last year of Nick Saban at the outside. If he doesn't go before then, do you see him going longer than that? This current deal would run out then. It could be his last year. Will they have, when they play Duke, when are they playing Duke? 2019? They're playing Duke over there? That can't be the feature game, is it? I mean, that's got to be like the Monday deal. You know what I mean? There's got to be something else before that. The Alabama-Duke? I mean, they played West Virginia there, but West Virginia has had runs of being up there high in the polls. They played Va Tech there. They played Clemson there. Now they're playing Florida State. Duke? I mean, Alabama-Duke? Really? That must be the second game. That might probably be the Monday game that year. Maybe not. Charles Barkley got loose again. I love Chuck, man. We talk about the voice of reason. Charles Barkley with Rich Carl of Fox 6 in Birmingham talking about these Confederate statues that apparently have everyone up in arms. I mean, they're all over the place, right? And now that's the latest, you know, rallying cry. The Confederate statues that are everywhere. And, you know, how this has become job one now to take these things down.
I'm not going to waste my time worried about these Confederate statues. That's wasted energy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep doing great things. I'm going to keep trying to make a difference, number one, in the black community because I'm black. But I'm also going to try to do good things in the world. I'm not going to waste my time screaming at a neo-Nazi who's going to hate me no matter what. And I'm not going to waste my time trying to worry about these statues they got all over the country.
So do you leave them up and ignore them?
I've always ignored them. Rick, I'm 54 years old. I've never thought about those statues a day in my life. I think if you ask most black people, to be honest, they ain't thought a day in their life about those stupid statues. What we as black people need to do, we need to worry about getting our education. We need to stop killing each other. We need to try to find a way to have more economic opportunity and things like that. Don't waste. Those things are important and significant. You know, I'm wasting time and energy screaming at a neo-Nazi or, man, you got to take this statue down.
Amen, brother. Preach it. Preach it. Chuck. It's a good job by him. And by the way, at the Facebook fan page, my personal one and the show one, I also posted a video. It's about 4 minutes long, and I beg you to watch it. It's by a young black woman. And the title is, I Don't Care About Charlottesville, the KKK, or White Supremacy. And the subtitle is Black People Have Scarier Things on the Horizon Than the Almost Endangered Species
University of Alabama, this is
of
Crimson
White Supremacy.
Today. It's a daily update on Bama Sports.
Go check that out. And that's from a young black woman. Very, very interesting. A little different perspective than the hysterical, you know, reaction that we've been getting from our society. All right, SB Nation Major League Baseball insider Chris Cotillo is in the leadoff today. Another big Yanks Red Sox series in Boston over the weekend coming up. And in the three, SEC insider Josh Ward is back in the house. And then Mario Puig, an expert at rotowire.com for two decades, will join us. In the four, Bleacher Report's Brent Sobolewski is back talking NFL. And then former Titans and Panthers safety Michael Griffin will join us with thoughts not only on the Titans and the Panthers, those organizations and so on. We'll catch up with him and what he's doing. And his alma mater, Texas, and Tom Herman. Get his thoughts on that as well. If you want to contribute to the show, we invite you to get in toll-free, 866-485-9867. Digital Doghouse is the Twitter feed, at Tom Abraham Show. Throw us a follow there. Facebook fan page, throw us a like at Facebook.com/Tom Abraham Show. Text window, which many of you jumped on to tell me to play the damn music, in the words of Danny T. Others didn't have to cuss at me to do it. But thank you to everybody who sent me texts on that. Played the music. We played the music. Text window is 732-982-7469. That's 7329-TA-SHOW, if that's easier for you. Doghouse inbox is open, tom@tomabraham.com. That dude over there, playing the stacks of wax and the platters that matter, answering phones, pushing buttons, giving us updates, keeping us on the air in our palatial lump studios. You know him as part Italian, part Mexican, part mutt. His family calls him Antonio Macbeth. To us, though, he's just simply the one and only Tony Mac.
Chico, don't be discouraged. The man, he ain't so hard to understand. Kiss my brown ass.
Do you know who I am?
Who in the blue hell are you?
I'm the producer of this show. If I didn't step up, you're nowhere. I put this thing together out of spit and polish.
There was no doubt about who I was going to hire. Didn't interview anybody, didn't talk to anybody, just hired a guy.
You don't ever say that to me. Bullcrap.
I don't care how many Dago, Guinea, Wop, Greaseball, Goombas come out of the woodwork.
All those of you that know Italians and like Italians, this is your day.
But don't ever take sides with anyone against the family again.
You can't speak Italian just because you have a mustache.
How come there ain't no Puerto Ricans on Star Trek?
When you ask me those kind of questions, it really pisses me off.
Hey, I don't want your money touching my money.
What's the matter?
I don't want your money in the same way.
My money's no good no more. Why?
Why? Because you're all jinx.
Now, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Oh, hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Hey, Tom. Oh, hey, Tom. Hey, Tom.
Tom, can you get me off the hook? For old time's sake.
You ask a question every week that I don't know anything about.
It should be a friggin' investigation.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
Say hello to my little friend.
Hey. T-Mac, how you doing today?
Big dog, what's going on? I'm fantastic after yesterday. That was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that, so I'm great, man.
That was a good time walking around. Was there practice going on? Because I was just talking to everybody. It was like old home week for me, you know what I mean? I was just, you know, you were watching practice, taking pictures and all that kind of good stuff, and I was just like, you know, hanging out.
Yeah, there was a practice going on behind you.
Yeah, oh, okay.
You might have missed that, but
hey, I like that you trimmed up your beard. You were looking good, man. I mean, that's good stuff, you know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. The fiance appreciated it as well.
It was a good day too, weather-wise, out there, and I was stunned at how much things have changed since I was a regular there. I mean, it's been 4 years, and that was the thing that blew me away with the grandstands that they put up, and you know, some of the areas where they kind of blocked off where we used to do, you know, where I used to have my tent set up in the past when I did my show there. So it was kind of a different feel out there, but it was really, really good. What were your general impressions?
Number one was Adoree Jackson. He was the first player I saw when we got there. And while I was watching the offense, he ended up picking off a pass down on the other end of the field. But right when I first got there, he stepped in front of a Cam Newton pass. He looked really alert. And you know, I just heard a lot of talk about him being on the special teams, and it would be a work in progress of him being a starting DB, but he looks like he could step in right away and be the best defensive back we have. So that was really cool to see. And Derrick Henry is so freaking big, man.
Like something.
I was right next to Cam Newton for a lot of the beginning of practice. Got a bunch of really good close-up pictures of him. But looking over at all the other running backs compared to Derrick Henry is just unreal. He is freakishly big.
No, no, he's a beast. I mean, he really is. But the one thing about him that surprised me was is how thin his legs are. You know, that was kind of surprising to me because I hadn't really noticed it before. But he's got really skinny legs, especially from the knees down. And now I see why he's so nimble. He is not a heavy footed plodding type of guy. That's why he's good in the open field. You can kind of see that.
Yeah, absolutely. Mariota also, you mentioned he was kind of hobbling out there a little bit. But,
a little bit. You can tell a little bit.
He can really put some zip on the ball. I've never gotten to see him up close and live before, but he can definitely put some spin on that thing.
Yeah. All right, give me a little bit of minutiae because I got guys that are ready to make their picks, and I want to get to their picks here right away. So give me a little something I didn't know before now.
All right, we're going to start at 1982 with the longest baseball game at Wrigley Field. It's 22 innings, and the Dodgers eventually beat the Cubs 2-1. It started actually on the 17th in 1982 and finished up on this day in 1982. In 1986, Jim Kelly signs with the NFL Buffalo Bills for $75 million for 5 years. Played two seasons before that in the USFL. 1987, the Houston Oilers' Earl Campbell retired from football.
That's a guy that had big legs, man. His thighs were 34 inches.
Oh, my
gosh. Now your waist is 34 inches. His thighs were 34 inches. Each one.
1989, you'll remember this one probably. Bucky Dent replaced Dallas Green as your New York Yankees manager. And we got a couple birthdays.
Those were bad days for the Yankees, man. The 80s were ugly for the Yankees. Dallas Green, Bucky. Bucky, love you, Bucky, but that'd be terrible. They were terrible then. All the way till 94.
Oh, wow. We got a couple birthdays. 1980, Jeremy Shockey was born. He is 37 today. Two-time Super Bowl champion with the Giants and the Saints. Played his college ball at Miami. And in 1934, it would have been Roberto Clemente's 83rd birthday.
Wow.
But he passed away in 1972.
Yeah.
That's your minutiae for the day, big dog. Get to your picks.
You want to get in on this thing? Let's get you in on this thing. The guy who's our guinea pig on it every time, he's been on hold since before to start with the start of the show. Johnny, stay there. I'll get to you in a second. Wolverine Dan is up. Wolverine Dan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, I got some good and some bad. I'll give you the bad first. You know, they take my truck and my mail truck in the beginning of a week for routine maintenance. The guy put brakes on it and everything. All of a sudden, next to my console where my steering wheel is, I got a holster on that looks like a microphone. Now, we got scanners that got GPS, so they know where I'm at all the time.
Right.
And now, Tom, I think they're listening to us now.
They might be listening to us right now. If they are, they should call in and get their picks into the Future Fact at 866-485-9867.
Yeah, I was thinking about maybe starting to speak another language, you know, and I speak a little Slovak. Maybe I hit them up with a little bit of that because I don't want them to know what I'm saying.
Well, you know, I hear you. I understand that part of it, but... You know, it's all like government right. money
so,
at work.
And the good part, yes, it is getting close to football. And I'll tell you a couple of things. Number one, I'm not worried about my franchise going somewhere to another city and everything. That's the great thing about being a Detroit fan. All my teams stay in Detroit. I love it. And then the other thing, Tom, I get to watch my games with my beloved Wolverine Chad, which turns 29 today, Tom. He's 29 years old. I can't believe it.
I cannot believe that Chad is 29 years old. I met him; he was 15 years old. I mean, I can't believe that he's 29 years old. And you know, that's the best thing about college sports. To be honest with you, you never got to worry about the University of Michigan moving. You never got to worry about the Crimson Tide moving out of Tuscaloosa. You know what I mean? You never have to worry about Auburn leaving Auburn. You know, that's why it's part of the deal there. You know, that turned me off. I went through that in the 90s with the Browns, and it's really never been the same for me with pro sports ever since the Browns moved in 94. 95.
Well, one thing I do worry about, and I'll get my picks in because you got other people want to get it. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Tibbs Forest Lake in Tennessee this weekend. Can you go swimming in it? Is it really deep or is it water clear or is it dirty?
Are you kidding me? Tibbs Forest Lake looks like a lake in Michigan. I mean, it's clear water, very, very clean, clear water, and it's definitely a lake you go swimming in. It's a beautiful lake. Beautiful water.
Is it deep?
Yeah, it's deep. It's deep. It's shallow. Okay. It depends. If you're in a cove, it's shallow. Hell, out in front of Gator Ron's house, it's probably 35 feet deep off the end of his dock. Other places, if you're at the north end of the lake, it's shallow.
Oh, yeah. I'm bringing a bathing suit, dude. I got to get in that water, dude. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. You'll enjoy it.
That said, yeah. Let's do the trifecta. I'm sure there's other people who want to get on it. I don't want to hog the radio.
Patriots over under 12.5.
You know what, Tom? I love my guy. You know what I'm talking about. The Michigan man, but I think that's too much. I got to go under.
Steelers 10.5.
You know what? I think that's too much, too. I'll go under.
Colts 8. I agree with you. Colts 8.5.
The way, after the way we spanked them over the weekend, yeah, go under on those guys.
Titans 8.5.
They're just awful all the way around. I'll go under all the way, baby. All the way. Limbo action, under.
They were 9-7 last year. What are you talking about awful all the way around?
Get out of here.
I'll tell you what. I'll buy you dinner. You and Ginger. I'll buy you dinner anywhere you want in Huntsville if the Lions end up with a better record than the Titans. How about that? Straight up.
Look at you talk to me. Oh, well, you know what? I do it just because I want to get together with you. I'll go for that, sure.
Why are you going to take care of me if you can take care of me and a junkyard babe if the Titans end up with a better record than the Lions?
Yeah, well, sure. We can get together on that. I don't see why not. Right. I mean, you know what? It is what it is. Just have some fun. That's cool.
We'll bet and dinner with the girls on the Titans or the Lions, whoever has the better record. All right, we're down.
All right. Hey, listen, I'll see you somewhat soon.
I'll see you soon, yeah. All right, that's Wolverine. All right, let me get Johnny in here before we break. I know we're late to get to Cotillo. Send him a text. Tell him I'll be to him in a second. Johnny on a cell phone. Johnny, welcome in. How are you, man?
Great.
What's up?
All right. Big dog, after seeing Bortles play last night, what's it going to take to get McCarron into a place where he can have a shot to play? I mean, the bad quarterback play is all over the place, and he's trying Big Red in Cincinnati, and I just think it's terrible that, I mean, you know, he's collecting a paycheck, but I never saw a game that seemed too big for McCarron, and I'm not saying he's the greatest arm or the greatest quarterback, but the kid knew how to win, and you know, it seemed to me that some GM ought to be like going, hey, Bengals,
you got your backup
quarterback up there, what you want for him?
Well, no, they've been asked that question a lot. The Bengals want a lot for him because the Bengals aren't 100% sure that he's not their future. You know, the Ginger is okay. You know, he's been decent and he's taken a play, but he hasn't won a game in the playoffs. You know, he hasn't done anything like that. And so I think that they're going to take a look at A.J. McCarron before his rookie deal is up and make sure that all of this money they've got invested in Andy Dalton is the right thing. If Andy Dalton starts faltering, you know, before A.J. gets out of there, they might want to take a peek. Otherwise, he's going to have to wait until his rookie contract is up, which is 4 years, which is, I think, next year. This year or next year will be his fourth year. And then he's a free agent. So, you know, then the bidding will start. But we, you know, we really haven't seen enough. You know, we don't know if he's Matt Flynn. We haven't seen enough yet, but it does seem like, I know I was hoping like hell that the Browns would get him, but they're not going to trade. You know, Cincinnati's not going to trade A.J. McCarron to Cleveland, to Hugh Jackson, and then have him turn around and bite him in the butt. You know, if they trade him, they're going to trade him somewhere where they don't feel like it's going to hurt him.
Well, like I said, Bortles doesn't seem that. I mean, he's 4 years in, and I think he's, 11 and 33? He has as many pick sixes as he has wins.
Yeah, I don't know if he's 4 years in. I think this might be his fourth year now. But Doug Marrone there said that the quarterback job is wide open. I mean, right now, Blake Bortles has not won the starting job. Chad Henne. Hey, the kid from Arkansas looked good. Allen looked good last night for them. But right now, according to Doug Marrone, the head coach of Jacksonville, he says that that's a quarterback competition and nobody has won yet. And so Bortles might be a backup this year. Who knows?
Yeah, okay. Well, I'd still take a trade for him either way they could go.
All right, man. Good job by you. Did you want to get picks in?
Yep.
All right, Patriots, 12.5.
Under.
Steelers, 10.5.
Over.
Colts, 8.5.
I'll go under.
Titans, 8.5.
Definite over.
All right, brother, we got you, and have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, let me get out of here. Chris Cotillo's coming up next for a few minutes. We'll do that right after this. It's a Football Friday in a Doghouse on 730-1039. Yeah. I know it's Football Friday, but we are starting off today with a little bit of baseball talk. And, of course, things are heating up in some of the races that we have. Chris Cotillo joins us now, does a tremendous job covering baseball for the SB Nation folks. And, Chris, welcome back. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Your guys and my guys again this weekend. Pretty good series last weekend between the Yankees and the Red Sox. They both went off and pretty much had a good week of winning. And now to get together in Boston and – you know, we said it before, we'll say it again. This looks like something that's being set up for the long run. The haters are not going to like this, but this is something that seems to be set up for the next several years because both these teams are loaded with 20-somethings, I think it's good for baseball.
I do too, and it's about time. I mean, you know, we talked about this in the past, but these teams were always 1-2 back, you know, when I think, you know, baseball peaked back in 03 and 04 in those series that played in the ALCS back-to-back years and were 1-2, and over the last few years, we've seen, you know, a lot of different teams be in the mix. The Rays made it to a World Series, and then the ALCS had the Orioles and Blue Jays, so those teams have really gotten better and even things out in that division. But, you know, with all the young stars they do have, and there's a lot of star power that's going to be injected into it over the next few years. Obviously, if the Yankees sign Harper, the Red Sox make a big move like that, there's a lot of potential for all these prospects, all these young guys, and even more big-time stars to come, and I think, you know, the best rivalry in baseball looks like it's back.
And what I like too is that they're not doing it on the weekend when they're wearing the the crayon uniforms or whatever they are, those player unis or whatever, because it'll look like it's supposed to look. Because to me, I call it eye candy, like Cubs, Cardinals, Dodgers, Giants, Yankees, Red Sox. It's sports eye candy, and you want it to look like that. You don't want it to look all hokey.
Yeah, it's when the Red Sox wear the blue or red uniforms on Friday nights. I don't like that, especially against the Yankees. But
yeah,
but I think the Players Weekend next weekend is actually going to be really cool. I think it's really these events that we're seeing over these two weekends between Little League Classic and the Players Weekend with all the nicknames and the different jerseys and all that stuff. It's making baseball really fun again. And we saw the All-Star game this year was a little bit more fun, a little bit more gimmicky. And I think, there's a lot of old school people that aren't going to love it, but there's a lot of, young kids and the younger generation that we want to get involved.
Yeah, and that's you and I. See, you and I are at opposite ends of that deal because you're the generation, you're already into it. You're going to watch baseball no matter what. But your generation, they're trying to grasp, so they do this, and you think, hey, you're looking forward to it. It's going to be cool. Me, I don't even want to watch baseball that weekend. I think it's stupid. I'm like Joe Girardi. He wouldn't even put a nickname on the back of his jersey. He'd probably wear like a Yankee jacket over it so it doesn't look, too crazy. But for me, I don't need that. What I need is for them to stop the 15 trips to the mound from the catcher, all the kicking the dirt around, guys getting in and out of the box. I just need pace of play. That's all I need is pace of play. And I also got to do something about this umpiring, these balls and strikes. It has gotten so bad. And just to show you that I'm not pure traditionalist, since they got Quaztec, why do we even need an umpire calling balls a strike? When are we just going to go ahead and go with the Quaztec, or whatever they call it? Let that thing give a beep, a green light or a red light or whatever. If it's a ball or a strike, you can put an umpire back there to call, safe and call the bases and whatnot. But we don't need umpires calling balls and strikes with this technology. And I'm getting sick and tired of watching balls right down the middle being called balls because the umpire is lined up behind the batter and then having balls that are 6 inches off the plate being called strikes. It's never been this bad.
No, and I think, they're going to see that technology as it advances over the next few years. I think that they're probably going to start testing it out, whether in the minor leagues or in independent baseball, something like that is kind of the test kitchen for getting into the majors. There's a lot of people on both sides of that battle of automated strike zone, but it seems like every day there's a new controversy, whether it's Ian Kinsler this week or whoever else, with controversies about balls and strikes. And I think automated is probably where we're heading.
I didn't follow up on the Kinsler thing. Did he get suspended or fined or what? Because I thought that was so bad. He was right. But because Angel Hernandez is terrible. But I thought that that's something that was going to get him a couple of game rip. What ended up happening to Kinsler? I read those comments to my listeners and I never followed up on what happened to him.
He was fined. So
nothing?
Which I think, it's interesting because we saw Joe West get in trouble for criticizing a player. So it could go either way. But I think with the Kinsler thing, that was one of the stronger things you've ever heard a guy say about an umpire. He needs to find a new profession. That's one of the funnier things that I think a guy's ever said. But there are a lot of problems with Hernandez, with C.D. Buckner, some of these other guys that have been around for a while. And when they come out with the polls, when they ask the players who the worst umpires in baseball are, and the same guys lose that battle every time, then it might be time for a change. If that change is automated balls and strikes down the road, that could be the case, or just kind of weaning out some of these umpires that have historically been,
I can't believe they're letting that go because it was personal. You know what I mean? It got beyond him just questioning his – I mean, he's like, go get a new job. He's got to reconsider his lot in life. I mean, he did everything but, call his wife ugly. I mean, it was pretty bad. What he said there. And, I would think that the umpires union would create a problem there. And what's going to happen? I wonder how other umpires will treat him in terms of giving him the benefit of the doubt, in the box. It might not happen. Chris Cotillo, with us here. Speaking of Boston, they old timers know that the Red Sox were the last team to integrate, with Pumpsy Green some 11 years after Jackie Robinson. A lot of people feel like Tom Yawkey had a history of being being way behind when it came to integration and anything else that had to do with that. And now the current owners of the Red Sox, they would like to change the name of Yawkey Way. which is going to get some blowback, you would think, from Red Sox fan. But I was, and I could care less one way or the other. I understand why they'd want to do it. But I was surprised that the owners want to change Yawkey Way to Big Poppy Way. I'm thinking, you know, Yaz Way. I'm thinking Ted Williams. Really? Big Poppy Way? David Ortiz Way? Is that what you would change Yawkey Way to?
There is a David Ortiz Way right next to it already, which I think is the funny part. And I don't know if they're going to actually do that. You know, it's definitely something that's being considered. I think, you know, we're obviously at a time in the country where tensions are high, and erasing that little bit of ugly history in the Red Sox organization is something that, you know, I know an ownership that has not been afraid to make changes, a lot of changes at Fenway, while still preserving, you know, the tradition around the place is something they've always been interested in. But now, you know, we're seeing it's iconic. You know, I'm never not going to think of it as Yawkey Way growing up there and living there for, you know, the first 20 years of my life so far. So David Ortiz Way, whatever, would be, I think, something that is, you know, erases that ugly chapter a little bit, but I don't think anybody would actually call it that.
I agree with you on that. But I'm just saying, if I'm going to honor somebody with that, I don't know why. To me, I'd go Yaz, but, you know, I understand they want to embrace the African-American community. They want to embrace the Dominican community, and maybe they felt like they could kill two birds with one stone if they go with David Ortiz. I'm not sure. All right, finally, the best race in baseball, maybe this one in the National League Central with the Cubs. Milwaukee is a game back. St. Louis now just a game and a half back. Pittsburgh just 5.5 games back. That's interesting. Cubs are winning 3-1 right now against Toronto, but they had to put John Lester on a DL. How bad would this be? I mean, if John Lester's, you know, if he's got a dead arm, how bad can that be for the Cubs here trying to hold off Milwaukee and St. Louis?
Yeah, they're one of those teams that really can't afford, you know, to be having injuries right now. There's a lot of teams that can. The Dodgers, the Astros, the Nationals, they've had important pieces go down, and you've seen, you know, them be able to kind of just play out the rest of the year without those guys because it doesn't matter. With the Cubs, though, they're in the heat of that race, and Lester, having him out, that's really going to be tough. I think it should be only a couple weeks. You know, they obviously added a lot of pieces at the trade deadline, more aggressive, but these Brewers won't go away. The Cardinals are risen. There's a lot of time, a lot of baseball left to be played, and still no sure thing in a division where we all thought it would be before the season.
Always appreciate you. Great work. Chris Cotillo has been our guest, jumping into a Friday spot for us today because we were off yesterday. Thanks, Chris.
Yep, appreciate it.
I think we got only one more block, right? T-Mac, I think we're only Braves blocked one more time. I think in September sometime, right in the middle of September, we have one Wednesday or something like that where we're going to be Braves blocked. I think that's it the rest of the way. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I know that there's a Friday we're going to miss. You might as well just go ahead and mark it down right now, T-Mac. September 15th. Just go ahead and put that down now. Your host's got to have a little bit of surgery. Got to have a little surgery.
That's right after your birthday, too, isn't it?
Yeah. My pre-op day is my birthday on the 11th. My wife's like, well, why don't you tell me you want a different day? What a way to spend your day in pre-op having to go. I said, that's a big deal. When it's, you know, to half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever. Yeah, they're going to take that tumor off of my neck, back of my neck there, neck and shoulder area there. So that's what they decided after we had the biopsy on it. And they gave me like they told me like 80% that it's, benign. But they said we can't tell 100% until we take it out and we want to take it out. It's going to be about a 4-inch incision, 4.5-inch incision to get that thing out of there. Yeah. So, got to do it. You know, what are you going to do? Got to take it out. That's all you can do. All right, let's get a break. Come back with our first update next, right here at 730-1039. The ump.
Riding down the highway of girls on my bike. Man, I never felt so alive. Screaming pig suey at the top of our lungs. Man, I never had this much fun. But then she
right, welcome back to Tom Abraham Show. Football Friday. Football music. That's kind of football music, right? It's always good, though. All right, let's get an update with T-Mac. We call this little ditty a Doghouse Sports Report.
The Atlanta Braves knocked off the Rockies 10-4, splitting the four-game series at 2-2. Lucas Sims got his first Major League win, going 5 innings with just 2 earned runs. You can hear the Braves take on the Reds tonight right here on the Ump. Coverage starts at 6:20. Penn State and head coach James Franklin have agreed to a 6-year, $34.8 million contract.
Good for him.
The contract includes a $2 million buyout for 2017. His $5.8 million a year puts Franklin as the fourth highest paid coach in college football behind Harbaugh, Saban, and Meyer. Not in that particular order. Other college football news includes ex-Vandy football player Brandon Banks sentenced to 15 years for his involvement in a 2013 gang rape of a female student. Hugh Freeze and disassociated booster Lee Harris had at least 200 phone conversations between January 2015 and the end of Freeze's tenure last month. Harris allegedly gave a recruit cash and free food at a restaurant he owns in Oxford. And Cam Newton will not play in this weekend's preseason game against the Tennessee Titans at Nissan Stadium. Newton has been on a pitch count and was, well, he's been on a pitch count this week and is still rehabilitating a surgically repaired shoulder. And finally, afternoon baseball, the Cubs are up 3-1 on the Blue Jays in the bottom of the fifth with no outs. I'm Tony Mack, and that is your Doghouse Sports Report.
Yeah, but he looked like he could go, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, if it was a regular season game, he'd go. I don't understand why they don't play him. And I mean, you know, people go to the game, and why not play him? He's on a pitch count. Okay, big deal. Play him for two series. You know what I mean? He could throw three passes, okay? That's crazy. All right, T-Mac, check this story out. This is a little bit disturbing. How much time do I have?
About a minute.
Okay. There's a toll road that crosses the middle. It's called the Middle Thoroughfare Bridge in New Jersey that links Cape May with the Wildwoods near the Jersey Shore. So dude with his family pays the toll. It's one of them lift bridges. It's got like a, you know, lifts in the middle, steel grates. He goes through the gate after paying the toll. He's on the bridge, and all of a sudden the bridge starts to open up because the guy, the bridge operator, didn't see the car because of sun glare, and it was a boat coming, and the radio was down on the boat. They couldn't tell the boat to stop, so he starts opening the bridge. It was rising from 3 to 6 feet, the gap. So, guy gunned it, jumped the gap in the family car.
Did he make it?
What, he made it. What are you going to do?
Yes.
What do you get? What would you do? They started lifting the bridge. Do you back down? He gunned it. It's a good job by that guy. We'll be back.